me fucking scoot back a little so I guess fucking so I don't punch the microphone.
Hey, come listen to our podcast, yeah. Please listen, it's a hitch. If you don't listen to our podcast, yeah, then you are a bitch.
Maybe that one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful episode of Filmoscopy Podcast. On today's episode, we will be discussing the cult classic movie, Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. Basically, this movie is kind of part... It's partly a movie, but partly also Tenacious D's like second album, pretty much. So I'll kind of be discussing, I guess, a little bit of both aspects and how it kind of measures up, I guess, as a kind of as a sequel to the first album that they had. But I'll just touch on that briefly.
Hey, Owen, can I ask you a question, sir? By chance, what went off in your background that went, ooh, ooh?
I don't know.
Did you send a text message or something?
I'm rubbing my desk because I got this. There's some shit on my desk. I'm trying to get it off. So
it might be that.
Oh, because we just sounded like,
ooh. And it sounds like the ooh, ooh, ooh. And then we need to have Cody put the audio in from this thing where it shows like three hot chicks going, ooh, ooh, ooh. And it has this like Hispanic dude on the street going, as he's like throwing up.
Ooh, ooh. But yeah, so this movie stars the band of Tenacious D. It's Jack Black and Kyle Gass. They directed this, and well, they didn't direct it. Their buddy Liam Lynch directed it, but they co-wrote it. And Jack
all
Black.
All three of them did.
What'd you say?
I just said all three of them co-wrote.
Yeah,
it,
all three of them co-wrote it, and but they had complete creative control, which was a kind of a big part. I think this is the last movie that Jack Black has had any kind of like creative input on, and like since I think he gave up making films pretty much outside of an acting role because of this.
Oh,
movie.
I can tell.
Yeah,
I can tell for sure because
So. But it came out in 2006, 2019 to $20 million budget, and only made $13.9 million in the box office. I think it recouped a lot of its loss kind of in, like, DVD sales and stuff. Because I remember seeing this in, like, I don't know, like, a lot of people I knew had this on DVD. So I'm just going to say it probably recouped some loss that way. And now it's kind of a cult classic in a way. A lot of people look fondly back on this movie if they watched it, especially when they were younger. But as far as my experience with it goes, I watched it when I was about, I must have been six. I was pretty young when I saw it, and I didn't really know who Tenacious D was or anything like that, but I thought it was a pretty funny movie. And then when I was a teenager, I discovered their first album, and I thought their first album was funny as shit. So I went back and watched this movie, and I loved it as well. So it's always been kind of one of my personal favorites. Now I guess I'll turn it over to you guys and see if there's anything, if you guys have any experience with this, with Tenacious D or anything like that. Anything like that.
I lost my virginity to this movie.
That's impressive. So I guess I'll start with you, Lance, since you already said something. By the way, my name's Owen. With me, remotely, on site, in the pod, is Lance and Cody.
Hello.
Hello.
There you go. Nice.
Okay, so I said my first experience with this, Owen, that you were trying to hit around to, I lost my virginity to this movie.
Is that for real?
No, it's not. I just like Owen just gives me a Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
is that for real?
I just imagine like Owen's got his like hands together at the fingertips. He's like, go on.
No, I had heard about this movie when it came out. I didn't know what the fuck Tenacious D was. I think I saw an article or on a bio of Corey Taylor saying he started a band that was a Tenacious D tribute band or some stupid shit. This is years ago. Like, I don't know what was true or not. But that's the only time I ever heard of it. I didn't know it was a real band. And I have not listened to any of their stuff. And to be quite honest with you, I have no interest. Because all I listen to is Ariana Grande and Nickelback.
Yeah.
In that order. Are you, like, clapping a director's thing? Like, cut!
I dropped my microphone.
Okay, well, that would make sense. We just hear a
cut! It does sound like a clapboard or whatever. Just
I'm like, is he trying to sync this shit up again? Together. God. How hard is it to... You know, Raycons are better than iPods, AirPods.
Dude, I cannot use earbuds that have this type of fitting where you have to, like, shove it inside of your ear. Because my ear holes are too small.
Just get a piece of tape and, like, tape it to the top of your ear.
No, these are $80 headphones. What are you talking about? I use these for work.
I was thinking about going and getting my wired Apple headphones. We'll switch to my phone, and then we could each wear one. Because the mic kind of hangs on the wire anyway.
Okay, so you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Take this ear. Yeah, that, watch out for that probably would be a little better.
Hey, my first experience with this movie was yesterday. Fucking movie.
Yeah, and so my first experience was this morning. I had heard about this movie. Like, as a kid, I'd see, like, commercials for it come on TV, but I never watched it up until now. Mm-hmm. But you know, watching it, this is definitely an Owen-ass movie, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, like, random shit. Yeah, I don't know, I guess I can kind of talk about a little bit about the production and kind of, I guess, the background of this movie. Jack Black and Kyle Gass formed Tenacious D, I think, in 1994 or something like that. And that was before Jack Black kind of became a big actor and stuff. So, and I guess they had always kind of talked about doing a movie, even when they first got together. But nothing really came of it until they got their HBO special, in, like, I think that was 99, if I remember correctly. Before that, they were just playing, like, in bars and stuff in, like, the LA area. And then once they got their HBO special, they made, like, a bunch of music, that's in the HBO special, and then they put it on an album. And that album is just called Tenacious D. And it's a pretty good album. They got, like, some sketches on there, mixed with, like, you know, their goofy ass rock songs and stuff. I mean, none of it's, like, particularly highbrow. I think the best thing about Tenacious D is probably that I think Kyle Gass is a pretty good guitarist, all things considered. Like, he shows his chops, even in this movie. He has some pretty cool sections and stuff and some cool riffs that he comes up with. Even when you can tell, like, in the back, behind the scenes and stuff, like, a lot of the stuff where they're shooting, you know, where they're trying to come up with songs and stuff like that, like, a lot of that's kind of off the cuff from what I've seen, like, in the behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, even some of that stuff can be kind of catchy. And I think Jack Black is pretty good at making melodies just off the top of his head with, like, you know, stupid shit. But yeah, that's pretty much, like, the entirety of the first album. It's that and, like, sketches. But this came out... So, the album came out in 2001. HBO show ended in 2000. This was in production, I think, right after the HBO show kind of stopped. Or maybe a little bit after that. And then, for a while, it was kind of, like, back and forth. I think Jack Black... he was talking with some British producers, and they were, I think they wanted creative control or something like that, and Jack Black was like, no, we want to make it ourselves. And they had a friend, and this friend is the director of this movie, Liam Lynch, who he's really just a, like, music video kind of guy. And you can kind of tell, because, you know, the directing in this movie is nothing to write home about. I don't think he has any other movie where he's a director outside of, like, comedy specials and like music videos. But they knew him through a music video they did for a single off their first album. And so he got together with them, and then he was like, hey, we should just make the movie ourselves and write it ourselves. You don't need other writers to write a movie for you. You guys are Tenacious D, so you should be able to figure out, you know, what you guys would do in a situation. You guys are these characters, pretty much. And that's what the characters in this movie are. They're just funny versions of Jack Black and Kyle Gass. They decided to basically maintain creative control of the film, kind of develop that stuff by themselves. And in the end, what we got was Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny, for better or worse. I guess the first thing I can ask you guys overall, I guess, is what were some of your favorite aspects, if you can think of any? What kept you entertained, if you were entertained at all?
The first part of the movie, like with many movies that I watch that I'm not familiar with, I'm kind of bored with. Not in a bad way. It's just, you know, it's just my temperament. And there was a couple scenes where I kind of laughed out loud that kept me interested in the movie. The music at times is funny. Other times was a bit much for me.
Yeah.
The Sasquatch scene with the mushrooms was probably my favorite part of the movie, but there was a part before that. And I think it was when, I think it's Tim Robbins is his name. That's Andy from, what's that fucking prison movie based off of Stephen King novel? Shawshank Redemption. That's the guy, the one that is with, he's missing his leg.
Oh, is it?
That's Andy.
Andy Dufresne.
That's, and that part was fucking great.
I wish I could tell you that Andy fought the good fight and that the sisters left him alone. But prison is no fairy tale.
Yeah. So that was Andy, that was him at the diner. That part was pretty funny. And then, I'm trying to think of anything else that popped up in my head. Probably when he's having that freak out when he's doing that fake audition at the beginning with the fake... with the fake people in the front, and he's throwing bottles at his face.
Yeah.
Hey, don't cry.
And he's like, he's having it, like his whole scene with his dad. That shit was pretty funny.
Not everyone passes the gig test on the first try.
The gig simulator or whatever.
Oh, a gig simulator. For me, I think I enjoyed the majority of the movie. There were a couple spots in the movie where it kind of like just dragged a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the music was really good. There was plenty of humor in it. There were several moments that had me laughing out loud. the first part in the beginning, when it's like it's showing it in black and white, when he's like a kid or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I like
dad.
Yeah, it's so gray that it almost looks like it's black and white.
His dad is like, when he's playing, right? You know, obviously his mom is upset because he's like cussing and all that stuff, but. It's almost looks like his dad is enjoying it at first, because he's like kind of smiling and nodding.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just thinking about the fact that he's going to get to take the belt out and whip his kid. I don't know.
That's what he's excited about.
Yeah, but that segment there was pretty funny. And I also laughed out loud during the Bigfoot scene where he's like flying on his back, and the song's like perfect and everything, and then it cuts him in the trees. He's like, and you bring him and you baby.
Some of my favorite bits are like I like when they first introduce like when Tenacious D first comes up on stage and the the stagehand guy is introducing them, and he's like once upon a time a band came and they're here to come again into your ear pussies or something like that. That's my favorite line.
Yeah, in the movie. I think that is what he says. They're here to come again in your ear pussies.
This shit's funny as hell. That's a good.
I love that scene too, because Jack Black gets up there. He's like, this is a chronicle of events that actually happened or whatever, and then it ends up like just kind of devolving into just nonsense at the end of the song.
Yeah,
it was like what is he saying? He's like chicken fried.
Yeah, it's like burrito like, supreme and a chicken supreme.
Chicken supreme. Yeah.
Yeah, the song's called Supreme. That's a song off their first album. They play it in the HBO special too. I think they play it at the end of every like episode in the HBO special. So, but yeah, that's Supreme. So yeah, I like that part. I think there's just a lot of sections where Jack Black kind of, you could tell he's kind of doing his shit off the cuff, and it wouldn't really be as funny, I think, if it was anybody else. But I think Jack Black is really good at just kind of, his delivery is really good, and I think he can bring.
I think a lot of it too, like you're saying, the delivery, his inflection especially, like, because if you just really look at the lyrics of some of the music of the songs,
it's stupid. It doesn't like it's stupid, not yeah. But the way
the fact that he's just like
the way he could say shit. Yeah, the way he can, like, they're at the end, where he's like doing the rock off with the demon or with the devil. Just the way he says, like, there's a line and he's like, "We've been through so much shit." Like the way he just says shit is fucking funny. Like, I don't know, there's just a way he delivers it that's that really brings
something. I love when he first meets Kyle Gass, and you know, Kyle Gass is kind of like trying to blow him off or whatever, and he starts singing along and he's like, "And fucking rocking and fucking rolling," and you know, it's just like there's like fucking in every other word. And that's kind of what I mean, is like the lyrics sometimes are a little bit basic and dumb, but like, because it's Jack Black and the way, like you said, the way he's delivering it, it actually makes it entertaining.
Yeah, he's just he brings like a larger than life kind of element to it that's really fun to watch. I think he really makes this movie. I think KG's no slouch either. I think he has a lot of good bits as well. Like just the way he some of the faces he makes and stuff, and he's sort of like the straight man in this in a way. Which is kind of how they are in real life. Like I've watched interviews and stuff, and Kyle Gass is always like kind of in the background. Like they have an interview where they're talking about video games and Jack Black's like, "Yeah, man, I fucking love Red Dead Redemption." I mean, he doesn't say fucking, but, you know, he's like, "Yeah, I love Red Dead Redemption, this and this." And then Kyle Gass is like, "Yeah, I played Pong once." You know, so.
Yeah, because isn't Kyle Gass like 10 years older than him?
Yeah, he's like really old.
He's like the Fred Durst of the group.
Yeah, back in the day, Kyle Gass used to be like in, I don't know, he was like big in the rock scene like way back in the day, kind of in that area, like in the LA area. He's in like a lot of bands and stuff. And
he was in a band called Trainwreck, right? And he's wearing the Trainwreck shirt in the movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I think so. It's funny because he looks entirely different like when he was young. Like, you know, he's got like, he's not, I don't know, he just looks completely different.
Speaking of looking entirely different, I pointed this out to Lance earlier because we were watching Parks and Rec. But Amy Poehler is in this movie. She's like a waitress with the black eye.
Yeah.
And the first time I'd ever seen her, or the earliest work that I'd ever seen her in, was Parks and Rec. And obviously that's, what, 8 years or so after this movie? And so it's like, it kind of threw me off because it's like, man, she looks so young in this. Now, not to say that she necessarily looks old in Parks and Rec, but, you know.
She definitely,
she looks, her face, this sounds weird. Like, when someone gets older, your face fills out.
Yeah.
Because your body retains fluid more than it did when it was younger. Yeah. And her face is
so
more filled out than
it
is in this movie. She looks like a beanpole.
unless you're John Cena, which his face has become droopy and saggy for some reason.
And his hairline is still perfect, but he's got no hair on the back.
Your balls retain more fluids as well.
Business in the front, balding in the back.
Or you can be like me, balding all over. Even my ball sack. I'm just kidding.
I call it my bald sack.
Whoa, I got a dog crawling between my legs. Think Papa pumps your hook up. Holler. You hear me?
I'm trying to think who else is in this movie. Oh, this is
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly's in this movie.
He's Sasquatch.
Did you know Dave Grohl?
Oh, that is?
Yeah.
Did you know Dave Grohl's in this movie?
Dave Grohl's the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's the devil.
I don't know if you know him from his more famous band, Foo Fighters. He's never done anything else before,
the superior member of Nirvana.
Yeah.
He was never part of Nirvana.
Yeah, he was only part of Foo Fighters. What are you talking about?
And I don't care what anyone says, Foo Fighters is a much better band than Nirvana.
Foo Fighters.
Well, here's the thing. You can talk about like being better band, but it depends on what makes the most amount of money. And Dave Grohl was already a millionaire by the time he got Foo Fighters.
But so. Foo Fighters' music is more enjoyable than
Nirvana. I disagree. Never sat down and listened to a Foo Fighter record.
I'm with Lance on this one, Cody. I respect your opinion, Cody, but I'm with Lance on this one.
Well, okay, you're kind of with me because I don't respect Cody's opinion.
Monkey Ranch. Monkey Ranch Pretender.
Sucking on a dick of monkey cock. All I know is one by one and I'm on to the next one, sucking on a dick and I make him come.
I got another confession to make. Yeah. I suck his dick.
Confession to make.
I sucked his dick.
I love that song. Anyway. I didn't know Dave Grohl was the devil in this.
Yeah. And then of course
Dave Grohl actually played drums on the Tenacious D first album.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did it as a favor for them just to have fun with them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that
Jack Black had already started acting in some places at that point in movies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that first album has like a lot of cameos on it. It's kind of weird. There's a band that's kind of big in the punk rock scene that you guys probably wouldn't know. They're called Red Cross. I mean, you guys might know them. I don't know. But, like, the bassist from Red Cross is on it, and he plays, like, bass in some parts, I believe. Yeah, he does. Just a lot of really weird names on that first album.
Who did you say was the, like, the guy with the bum leg?
Tim Robbins? Paul, the guy who plays Andy Dufresne.
Okay, that's right, yeah. Sorry, I already forgot.
Who's that again? Like 10 minutes you ask again?
At the end of the episode. Who was that?
Oh, Cody, just fucking forget it.
See, I thought in my mind, I was like, I don't recognize this guy, but I feel like this would be a good role that they would have found some like random like rock star that they were friends with to play.
No, they got an Academy Award winner to play the part. <It's> the They got somebody like fucking... Hold on. I want to know like his exact name. I think it's Tim Robbins, but it could be Tom Robbins.
I need to call Andy Dufresne.
I've just thought of something, and I meant to search it.
It's Tim Robbins.
What'd you think of there, Owen?
So you know that animated section in the beginning?
Yeah, where they fart.
Where they fart. Yeah, and they eat a bean and cheese and smoke a fucking dube. I think that's what's that fucking guy's name?
Gogath.
Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, fuck, what is his name?
John Kirkfalski or whatever the fuck.
Isn't he also the one that did like Rugrats and shit?
Or
am I confusing two people?
He might have been involved. Two people. I just know he did Ren and Stimpy and that was it. That's the only thing I
know. Arlene Klasky is Rugrats. So he did Rugrats, Rocket Power. He did Simpson shorts for the Tracy Ullman show. He did All Real Monsters.
This guy that Owen was talking about, John Chris Kowalski, he's known for the Ren and Stimpy show and the goddamn George Liquor program.
George Liquor program?
Yeah, he's read the goddamn part, though.
I guess
Ren and Stimpy the only cartoon he did.
Yeah, I think that's really the only one he's done. I mean, he's canceled now. Stimpy.
No, is he?
Yeah. Sexual abuse allegations. Nice.
Yeah, he. I remember like just the loose knowledge I know of the Ren and Stimpy show is that apparently it was supposed to be very adult and oriented, but I guess because he got picked up by Nickelodeon, it couldn't be. Mm-hmm. And then when they revived it a few years later, and they brought it back to like I think it was MTV picked it up. That set, or Paramount moved it to MTV because I think Paramount owns all of it. But yeah. It was like the more like original concept that he had, where it was like more adult oriented or whatever. So that's got to be kind of jarring. Where it's like,
yeah, have you seen Adult Party Cartoon? That's the one that they moved it to. It fucking sucks.
I've never seen it.
It's like the dumbest shit ever. Like it's completely not funny at all.
I ain't gonna lie, like, when I saw they were bringing back, because they brought it back on Spike TV, I think.
American Dad?
No, Ren and Stimpy.
No. Lance is ripping ass over here.
Now you get to hear it in person. You get to smell it. You get to take it in and be like, oh, that's what he had for dinner.
You get to contemplate the aroma.
Like ketchup and onion.
Like a good what is that? What do you call it? A wine.
Wine tasting.
No,
it's fart tasting.
No, it's the guy. It's the guy that like at a fancy restaurant that specializes in like a wine. It's a wine.
I have no idea. I've never been to a fancy restaurant.
The wine.
But
bitch.
Anyway, it's like that. It's like that for farts.
Hey, Cody, you're showing your financial status.
This fart pairs well with an excellent blue cheese.
Just like all the good farts, it's aged, vintage, 30 minutes.
He's talking about the character that, Bruce Campbell plays in Spider-Man 3. Yeah.
Oh, special night for the lady.
I love romance. I'm French. Oh, man, I mean, those are some warning shots.
You want to dip your baguette
in her croissant? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You were talking about Ren and Stimpy being on
Spike.
Oh,
Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, when I saw it on, I guess it was on Spike TV, and things got very erotic on that version, and you saw a lot more ass. And you never saw that in the Nickelodeon version of the show.
Yeah, like in...
It threw me for a loop when I was like 12 or 13.
In adult party cartoon, they just straight up have gay sex like all the time.
See, that's what, you know, because a few years ago, Fox canceled American Dad. I was joking when I mentioned that, but Fox canceled American Dad and then Adult Swim picked it up. Oh,
okay.
And they're like, oh, new episodes are coming to Adult Swim. So I was like, oh, so it'll be more like... It won't be like as like clean cut for TV as American Dad has raunchy humor, you know, but for Fox primetime television or whatever, they're obviously not letting everything through the gate. And it ended up coming off like, at least on the surface, like the same shit when it was on Adult Swim, which is fine. I mean, American Dad is fine, but
Steve, that's
the whole thing. Was always more raunchy, though, wasn't it? Like, I always felt like that was the more like raunchy show between.
So let's get back to this movie real quick. Owen. How many times after you watched this movie the first time did you enjoy it from the first go, or did it take a couple watches for you to get everything and enjoy it?
I don't know. I didn't really know what I was watching when I was a kid. I was just like, man, this is fucking crazy, dude. But when I was a preteen, when I was like a early teenager, I loved this fucking movie. So it's a pretty short movie. It's like, I think it's sub like an hour and 30 minutes. Oh no, it's exactly on now, because not counting the credits, it is sub 130, an hour and 30. So yeah, it's a pretty quick movie to go through. And I actually do like the songs in this. I mean, like, they're not songs I have saved to any playlist or anything, but I think they're fun for what they are. And, you know, any song that has Dio in it is fucking going to be good. Like, so the best part of the movie is when Dio sings this part. Which, funnily enough, just a bit of background, he did that in one take. So that's cool.
Really, that song?
Yeah, when Dio's vocal part on the Kickapoo track, the first song, he did that in one take. There's a behind the scenes thing of him doing it, and like everybody on the crew, he's like, you want me to do it again? You know, I could sing with you, Jack, or something like that. You could do background or something. And Jack Black's like, no, dude, that was perfect. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dio rocks. So
he's a second lead singer of Black Sabbath, right?
Yeah, he was in Rainbow. Richie Black? Richie Black's Rainbow? I can never remember. That's like the guitarist from Deep Purple. It's Richie Blackmore's, I'm sorry. Yeah, he was the lead singer in that, and he was the second lead singer in Black Sabbath. That's the Dio era.
After they kicked out Ozzy.
Yeah, Ozzy was
great for being crazy.
Yeah. Like that in that interview where he's going, "Hi." Who's on drugs and shit. But yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't know that was Dio. I thought it was Ben Stiller. I didn't know. I mean, I knew it was supposed to be Dio, but I didn't think they actually got Dio.
Wait, isn't Ben Stiller?
Oh, Ben Stiller.
He's in this movie, but he looks to me, and I guess it might just be like autism, facial blindness or something. I was like, dude, he looks just like him. That must be Ben Stiller.
Because you don't.
Yeah, cause he's the guitar center guy.
Yeah,
Ben Stiller is.
Because I was, you know, I watched this on like CRTs and shit, so you couldn't really get a good look at Dio. I love how it's like supposed to, when Jack Black's like a kid, it's supposed to be like the 80s or some shit, but Dio's like fucking like in his like 70s, like on this poster.
I guess it is supposed to probably be the early 80s, right?
Yeah, whenever the fuck Jack Black was a kid. It's just funny to me that Dio's like an old man on this.
It's like, well, we could get someone to look a lookalike who's younger, we can just actually get Dio. I'm sure they're probably like, getting Dio and this is way cooler than just getting someone that looks like him.
Yeah.
And this was 2004, so they couldn't do like the Iron Man
AI faces us. Yeah.
Princess Leia and Rogue One stuff.
Another rock legend that's in this, besides those other two we mentioned, is Meatloaf is in this. I'm not the biggest Meatloaf fan, but I feel like he's worth mentioning.
Was it Meatloaf supposed to be in this movie?
That's what Owen just said. Meatloaf.
Yeah, he's his dad. He's Jack Black's dad.
That's Meatloaf?
Yeah, that's Meatloaf.
He said, he told Jack, he said, you can do anything for the love of Jesus, but you can't do that.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Holy shit, dude.
I know that song, and I know him from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and that's it.
That's the only Meatloaf song I know.
I don't even remember, because Meatloaf has a song in Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I don't even remember what it is.
I don't think I've ever even seen that.
I've not seen it either. Don't suggest it.
I'm not gonna suggest it.
Thank you.
I don't know. Rocky Horror Picture Show is okay, but it's not something I really want to like watch or anything. I wouldn't have anything to say about it anyway.
That's something more for like theater dorks, I think.
Yeah,
probably.
They're like, I went there and I threw the paper towel when he said whatever the fuck he says, and the spoons or whatever the fuck else they do.
Yeah. When Wicked comes, when Wicked Part 1 comes out next year, there's going to be a bunch of that, too. I actually went to Broadway and saw this.
I went to Broadway, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, so, tangent, Tom. My wife and I just got back from New York City.
New York! New York!
Hey, I'm walking here!
Pizza.
Fucking walking here!
Pizza
Don't
shit.
Don't you see I'm carrying a slice? but we were looking into trying to go see a Broadway show, right? And we did go to Wicked, and we went because people were like, yeah, just go to the box office because it's like way cheaper if you go to the box office instead of ordering them online, because you don't have to pay like, well, for one, the base price online is like way higher, and you also don't have to pay like the stupid like processing fees and shit. But so we went, and they're like, yeah, so the cheapest tickets we have are $101 a piece, but they're partial view tickets.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means that you can't see the entire stage. So it's like, Stephanie and I looked at each other and we're just like, hell no. Not paying $200 plus tax to get partial view tickets to a show that's less than 3 hours long. Like, that's ridiculous. So, long story short, we ended up not seeing a Broadway play.
Yeah. And maybe you would have preferred to just watch one half of Wicked, though. Sounds cool.
Well, I mean, like I said, they're making it into like an actual film, and they're doing it in two parts for the movie. So I told her, like, well, we'll just get to watch it when it comes out in theaters in movie form. And I think Ariana Grande is playing like the what's the good witch's name? Glinda, I think.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
From what?
Wizard of Oz.
I've never watched Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
I have no interest in it.
Wicked is like I think is supposed to be like a prequel to Wizard of Oz.
It's the hot bitch wizard from the north.
The good witch is played by Ariana Grande in the movie. And I don't remember who plays the wicked witch.
There's one question I want to ask. Does she give us the juice?
Give us the juice.
You've seen that, right? When she's trying to squeeze a potato, she goes, give us the juice.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that from one of the fucking Nickelodeon shows?
Yeah,
where, like, the pervert producer was like, yeah, hey, Ariana, show your feet.
I wish I knew what the fuck that guy's name, Because somebody quote tweeted that video and says his name goes, "You sick son of a bitch." And it's her. She's over squeezing a potato like, give us the juice.
Damn, oh, yeah, Schneider.
Dude. And she's like 14.
When all that shit came out about him, it was like, oh.
Wait, shit actually came out about him?
Yeah, dude. Like, he apparently, like, has a foot fetish, which is why, like, a lot of those shows around that era, like, Victorious, iCarly, and stuff like that, they have, like, a lot of, like, feet being shown on screen.
Yeah.
Because he has a foot fetish. And, like, I know, what's her face? I don't know if, I know Lance never watched it, but I don't know if you watched iCarly back in the day.
Yeah, I did. I know, like, there's a lot of... There's episodes where they're like, look at my feet. Look at my feet.
Well, the actress that played Sam, Jeanette McCurdy,
yeah,
she wrote a book about her life, and the book's called something like I'm Glad My Mom Is Dead or something like that. Her mom was like a gigantic piece of shit. Like, her mom basically used her just to, like, make money off of her, essentially.
Yeah.
And also, like, let her be exposed to all the shit that this producer at Nickelodeon was doing. Behind the scenes, and that never did anything about it because they were getting wealthy off of it, you know. So yeah, a lot of shit came out in that book, and I think that's kind of, that may have been what kickstarted a lot of stuff coming out, because then you had other actors who used to be on Nickelodeon shows coming out and being like, yeah, this is like some of the stuff this guy was doing. But yeah, it's a sad situation, but yeah, he ended up being like a fucking disgusting human being. So.
Dan Schneider, hold her tighter, she's a fighter.
That's his name.
Dan Schneider, yeah.
Dan Schneider. Well, isn't that the actor, too, from Deuce Bigelow and El Julo?
What?
No, he's not an actor.
That's Rob Schneider.
Yeah, that's Rob Schneider.
You sound like, you're like, isn't that the actor from Deuce Bigelow and El Julo?
Deuce Bigelow and El Julo.
I got lazy with my words there. I got completely lazy. Sometimes my mouth, I'm just like completely lazy.
I didn't realize Rob Schneider's the Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah, Rob Schneider. Yeah. Dan Schneider.
It's his brother.
I didn't realize that. I always just knew Rob Schneider as like, hey, it's the guy that sometimes shows up in Adam Sandler movies.
Adam Sandler produced all of his movies.
Have you seen his show? I mean, it's kind of old now. It's like 10 years old. But he had a show called The Real Rob or some shit like that.
Oh, no. That does not sound interesting at all.
It fucking sucks, dude. It's like him just self-filleting himself. He's like... Yeah, I have, like, a big-titted Mexican, like, wife, you know, who sucks my cock all the time. And then, like, for some reason, she, like, she's always on a stripper pole, like, in every fucking episode. And it's, like, his real wife.
Adam Sandler calls him and is like, hey, you gotta knock this shit off. No one cares.
His daughter, his real-life daughter is a fucking singer. She's like, exes.
That's his daughter? Me.
That's his daughter, yeah.
And exes. And
yeah, that Dollar General classic.
Yes. God, that fucking song.
the soundtrack to your life. And my life, too.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize, I want to apologize to our listeners. I'm starting to realize when we start recording these things in person, shit goes off the rails even worse than it does remotely. Yeah.
I realized when watching this movie, I'm like, you know, there's not really that much to talk about with this movie because it only has like an hour and like 25 minute runtime, and it's just like mostly music, and we don't really talk about music that much. So it's not like the plot like complex. I mean, you could tell the writing for this is like amateur as fuck because like it's so disjointed. I'm speaking from a place of love. By the way, you know,
you're not.
Yeah,
you seem like a fucking hater.
Yeah, I am a hater. I'm a hater of like modern Tenacious D because I don't think they're funny anymore.
You Owen are literally tearing this movie down just so you can pick it back up and lift it up.
It's just so
like the fucking monkey and Lion King.
It's just so I can feel better about myself, dude. I'm just a hater, dude. Haters, get off my dick, dude.
Real quick question too.
Yo.
Is all the music featured in this movie released on a soundtrack?
Yes, there is. Their second album in Tenacious D discography is the soundtrack to this movie. That's why I said at the beginning of this is kind of like it's their movie, but it's also their second album.
It's like the music video to their second album.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that, like, with like all the most of the shit is the sketches, because their albums always have sketches where they're like there's this one sketch in the first album where KG eats Jack Black's like fucking kielbasa sausage, and he's like, do you eat my, or no, not his kielbasa sausage, his schnitzel, and he's like, do you eat my fucking schnitzel? And there's this one funny ass sketch in the first one where they go to McDonald's. And, like, I always think about the sketch because Jack Black's, like, going through the drive-thru and he's like, yeah, I'll have three chicken McNuggets. And the person over the thing is like, oh, well, we only do the 10-piece and the 5. And he's like, I want three chicken McNuggets. Put two of them up your ass and give me three chicken McNuggets. So, but they'll have, like, little sketches
I've
like
that.
I've
heard that before.
Yeah, I might have showed that to you. I don't know. But, yeah, they'll have sketches like that. And that's kind of what this movie is. It's just, like, a bunch of, like, sketches and shit. The plot doesn't really come into effect until, like, what, halfway through the movie where they figure out about the pig?
Yeah, because it's basically, like, part origin story, then part, like, the main, like, MacGuffin of the movie. Yeah. Is the pick of destiny.
And there's like,
yeah, which is entertaining. I didn't realize the car that they got from their super fan. Is that your foot?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my.
I looked down. I hit Cody's foot, and I pulled away. I'm like, "Is that your foot?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I put my foot on top of his. I go, "Hey there." He goes, "Ugh."
That's my weenie.
It's like a delayed reaction.
I will say something about the plot of this. I suspected that the guy from the diner was going to be the devil. Mm-hmm. I kept looking at his teeth. Like, I'm like, I wonder if I can see like a tooth chipped or something. But like, obviously all his teeth were all fucked up. But I was like, oh, to me, this is like the devil trying to get them to go to the, like, push him to go to the museum or whatever and help them get in to get the pick so that he can get it back. I didn't suspect that it would be the fucking host of open mic night or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't make any, I mean, not that it fucking matters that it doesn't make any sense, because it's just like a dumb stoner movie. But that character who is like the announcer, he's like in, so this is supposed to be a prequel to the HBO show, but he's a character in the HBO show, so it doesn't make any sense. So it probably would have been better.
That's weird. It also doesn't make any sense, because when the guy from the guitar center is telling them the story of like how the pick of destiny came about, isn't it that the wizard cast him down back to hell, and he said that like you won't be able to escape as long as you're not whole?
Yeah, but he comes back anyway. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not super thought out, you know.
It took me 6 years to translate this. Why don't you just get a translator and let someone else read it too?
My quick question, why did New Line Home Cinema think that this movie was such a hit to make a fucking show?
The show came out before this.
Yeah.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the HBO.
Oh, okay.
It was HBO who made the show. I don't know why. I think this came out when Jack Black, I think the show came out after Jack Black had like his breakthrough role or some shit in that one movie. Can't remember what it's called. But, nah, I don't know.
Well, all I know is 3 years later, New Line Home Cinema went under, so they started making some poor choices.
Yeah, isn't Harvey Weinstein, like, didn't he own them or some shit? Isn't he involved with them?
No, that's Dimension Films.
Oh, okay, my bad.
New Line Cinema's back now, though, right?
No, it's just a label Warner Brothers uses.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's not really New Line, but they own New Line.
Yeah, New Line became properties. A subsidiary of Warner Brothers, yeah, but it's not its own company.
I know, like, Warner Brothers then technically owns Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Because they own New Line.
No, because they're trying to search out the rights on that now. I think the original writer, I think Wes Craven's estate owns part of the rights to it.
You know, if I could turn back time.
You know what I don't get? I don't get.
What do you not get?
So, I read this in like some of the trivia somewhere. Jack Black took a pay cut for this movie. I guess he like had a rate of like $12 million per movie, and he only like took $1 million. But like, how do you get paid like if you're making the movie? Like, I don't
I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me.
I'm sure he had something tied up in profits in this movie. Yeah, which there were
none. Like, yeah, to me that really says, like, yeah, I'll take $1 million up front for the movie. Because, I mean, you got to think, it's the movie, it's the production company that's paying these people to make the movie, right?
So yeah.
His deal was probably adjusted to be like, I'll take $1 million up front, and I'll take this percentage of any kind of box office profit or something like that.
That makes sense. Y'all.
Did you know, speaking of people making deals with money, I just learned this the other day. ICP, when they wrestled in WWE back in the 90s, they didn't take any money. Their agreement was that they were coming out with a new album or something, and their agreement with WWE was that they were supposed to air the commercial for their new album, like, for 6 weeks in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up, WWE never aired it. So, like, ICP just ended up walking out one night because they were like, you know what, fuck it, you're not holding up your end of the deal. Vince kept, like, dicking them around, being like,
oh, pal, we got this.
Yeah, like, oh, don't worry, it's airing next week and that kind of thing. And they were eventually like, you know what, fuck it, that Vince is a scumbag, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, with that little tidbit you just gave us, when you looked at me and said ICP, you smiled. Was that because I'm about to do a wrestling bit, or said ICP? You're like ICP everywhere.
That was because I was about to do a bit of wrestling trivia.
Savannah absolutely hates that everything, literally everything I do, has some tie to wrestling.
But now you can tell her to listen to this episode and say, it's not just wrestling, but it's also your favorite music group. ICP.
Yeah. See, we had this, we do this thing, I gotta say this real quick. I do this little walk sometimes, where I act like I'm walking with eggshells and I don't want to break it. I gotta swing my arms back and forth. And she says I look like the fucking monster from, what's the Monsters movie that Disney put out, or Pixar?
Monsters, Inc.
You know, the little guy with the green eye.
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. Because he has a little walk, he's like.
I was gonna say, I was picturing in my head before you actually like mime the walk. I was thinking more like the famous Bigfoot footage where the guy's like kind of like just.
That's the opposite of walking on eggshells. That's just like the fucking like dick swinging walk.
Yeah, it is. But I told her, I'm like, no, it's not from that. I got it from wrestling, and she goes, what? And I showed her this wrestler named Tully Blanchard, who was part of the Four Horsemen and shit. He had this little thing when he was walking, but acting like he was sneaking up on somebody. He was like walking fast with his hands, almost like he was shuffling in a way. And I do this little shuffle, and she hates it. I also do like the Rick Rude dance, and I do the swivel on my hips like Rick Rude. She hates that. I do the Alex Wright dance. I remember the German kid from WWE.
Yeah.
I do that. She hates that.
And then when she found out, she's like, oh, you kind of look like that Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc. And you're like, no, it's from wrestling. She's like, well, I'm dry as the Gobi Desert now.
She said, oh, that's really doing something for me.
I told her, I'm like, I mean, look, you know where I got this from, right? She goes, wrestling. I'm like, yeah.
No.
That's like the majority of everything, baby.
I got this from a porno.
She taught me how to do the floss dance that Anthony used to do on one.
Yeah, rest in peace.
And I do that all the fucking time on the floss. I'm like, and I just like, I try to tell Ben, my boss, like, if his football team, the Bills, plays my team, the Chiefs, and the bet is between us every time we play, you get a bag of mini paydays and a 2-liter Dr. Pepper. That's the bet. And we're like, okay. And then this year, I was like, look, we can keep that bet, but if I win, the Chiefs win, I want you to do the floss like Anthony on camera. And he goes, no.
Do they play this week?
No, they don't play this week. They play this year.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Bills play, because everyone's like hyping up whatever, whoever the fuck they're playing, right?
Yeah,
like,
oh, I mean, obviously not getting enough job. I don't know what the fuck they're playing. My Chiefs play the Vikings next week.
They're playing someone who's undefeated. Maybe it's, oh, the Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah.
Man, I hope the Dolphins fucking cook them.
Cook
him. Fuck Josh Allen.
Cook him.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
That fucking Madden curse needs to set in a little bit more. You know what I mean?
So hold on a second. This movie.
Wait.
Let's go over the best part of this movie, and that's the mushroom scene. Wonderful. Mason, they're like, man, I'm glad I found these mushrooms because I was pretty parched.
Sasquatch is my papa, and he's gonna protect. I like when they go down the little river, and it's green screen.
and he's like drowning. Yeah, and he doesn't even realize that he's going down the stream or whatever you want to call it. It's a really violent. I'm over here like, is he about to die? And then all of a sudden, he's climbing up the tree. I'm like, he's just okay.
Bigfoot is my papa.
Gonna protect me. Nobody in the world scratch eyes. Hell yeah, dude.
Honestly, I think what makes that scene so great is, like I said earlier, where it cuts back and forth to him, like what's happening in reality between what's happening in his head and in reality, he's just like.
I like it when he calls KG a fucking dick squeezer. I love that line. I like it when he's
mayonnaise.
Yeah, I like it when he's walking out of the cafe too, and he's like, "We're fucking over, dude. Oh, it's the pick's mine, motherfucker. I'll see you later, cocksucker." And like the girls just look at him. And he's like, and then Kyle's like, "Don't worry about it.
he's my butler.
He's just my butler. He's a butler.
We're fucking over,
I had
dude.
To let him go."
I like that shit.
I love whenever like they're about to do the devil stuff is pretty great because it's like, and what if I win? It's like, oh, KG, or you can take KG back to hell to be your
sex slave. you're gonna goggle mayonnaise. When I watched this on like TV, when I watched this as a kid, I had this like DVR like recorded on DirecTV, and they completely like muted when he said gargle mayonnaise, so he would just be like, "You're gonna."
What is he gonna do?
Yeah, but he still does the little thing, the little hand gesture. So, left it up to your imagination. I wonder if what the fuck is his name?
Jack Black.
David Grohl. David. Dave Grohl.
David Grohl.
David.
Oh, his name is David.
My mother calls me David.
Yeah, Dave Allen. I wonder if he sang the devil parts. Is that pretty good? I like the devil parts.
I would think. Why wouldn't they get... If you're going to get a rock singer to come do that part, why wouldn't you just have him do the singing in it? You know what I mean?
Because he's a drummer.
But he sings in Foo Fighters.
Yeah, but he's a drummer.
He said one by one.
I'll never be on my hearing.
I like the part where he's like fucking like I forget.
This was really a waste of money.
What was
the part when he
the Dr. Squatch Batman box I bought us over a year ago, 2 years ago?
Oh,
now, I guess.
I liked it. I mean, it's pretty cool, but they go away so fucking quick.
Yeah, dude. They just I know this is another tangent. I saw an ad for Dr. Squatch online. It was like, if you buy three bars, you get three free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like $30, but it's like six bars of soap. And it's like, man, it's hard to justify. Like, I like the soap, but it's just hard to justify spending $30 on six bars. Like Owen said, they just don't last for it.
Yeah, they last
that shit lasted me like 3 weeks with the two bars. Because, I mean, I'm in the shower about 25, 30 minutes.
You're using that scratchy bar of soap on your penis.
Oh, my asshole.
Yeah. I gotta get the dried cum off my dick.
When you were wrong, dried cum off my ass.
Gotta use it to grind down the poop crust.
I gotta get the shit and cum off my ass. I need industrial strength scraper.
That's so gross.
Good thing the soap was like sandpaper.
No, it's just legit. Like, I have, like, I was telling Cody earlier, and if anybody knows me, I have an OCD about germophobia. Like, it's all mixed together. I have, like, I don't know if it's clinically diagnosed OCD, but I do, and then I have germophobia. And it all just fucking combines together. So I'm in the shower sometimes, like, rewashing myself two or three times just because I get lost in my head with, like, this shit, and that's just like why I end up like going through so many bars of soap. And yeah, so that Dr. Squatch stuff just did not last long. We can cut that part out with in the ass and the cum. Like, I'm pretty sure that's something I want to have out.
By the way, Dr. Squatch, please fucking sponsor us.
They never did get back to me after I emailed them.
Yeah, fuck them.
fuck them.
Fuck Dr. Squash or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, we were getting 60 listens an episode. Now we're down to 10. Look who's laughing now, cocksucker.
Yeah.
So Dave Grohl did sing in that song.
Oh, I like the part where he goes, "The demon code prevents me from declining a rock off challenge." I like that one. That one little line that he does is pretty cool.
It's basically this whole movie is just basically a rock musical. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. I like it. I like even.
I'm not complaining about it. But I know we've talked about musicals before. Obviously, yeah. We've covered a few of them on this podcast. But
yeah, Scorpion's Revenge.
Yeah.
No, like The Greatest Showman.
Come and see.
Yeah, come and see.
The greatest musical of all time.
Papa, they're gonna burn us in this barn.
They're gonna kill us. Oh, they killed a cow.
And then it shows the Germans outside. Die, 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 die. Burn, burn.
Style.
Die, burn, die, burn.
Whoopity whoop. I watched some deleted scenes of this, and I'm glad these deleted scenes.
Deleted scenes of what?
Of
Tenacious D.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was talking about like some kind of shit from the World War II documentary. I've watched some deleted shit, man. It's fucked up.
It's crazy, man. They kill a bunch of people, man. There's some deleted scenes at the end. There's supposed to be the scene where they like talk to Lee and they're like, "Hey, man, sorry about your car. Can we move in? We'll make you an unofficial we'll make you an official non-participating member of the D." And he's like, "Guys, this is the greatest day of my life." And then he hugs him. And then he looks up and his eyes are black, you know, like how the devils were. And then it cuts there.
Yeah.
So that was one of the deleted scenes. And then there was another one.
I didn't. Yeah, his car. I didn't know that was like a Cutlass. Because my mom had a Cutlass Supreme growing up. And they kept mentioning Cutlass Supreme in that song at the bar.
Oh. Like,
yeah, but the Cutlass Supreme only had two doors. That's a four-door, like, Cutlass, like, 88, what they were driving.
Cutlass Supreme, like Chicken Supreme, Burrito Supreme.
And the Cutlass Supreme. Yeah, I think the original song has, like, different lyrics. Like, I know they say like, a Burrito Supreme and then something else, but, fuck, I don't remember.
Chicken Supreme.
Yeah, they say that in the movie, but that song was also, like I said, in the HBO show. And they said something else. Like there's that line where they go like, "We know you're all robots and we don't care." What they would sing on HBO, they would say like, "We know it's paid cable and we don't care." Or they would say like, "We know it's open mic night and we don't care," or some shit like that. So yeah, they changed the lyrics to that for this. But there was another deleted scene with, I don't know if you guys would know who the actor I'm talking about. He's in The Office, and he plays that guy who's like a dickhead that everybody hates.
Dwight?
No, not Dwight. The guy, he works at like another branch of like Dunder Mifflin, and he comes in there and makes like...
Oh.
Like he picks on...
Is he the one that punches the hole in the wall?
It's not Ed Helms. It's not Ed Helms. It's not Andy. It's... I don't remember. He has like a... He's balding.
Oh, it's the guy that Steve Carell's character is like friends with.
Yeah, but he's like a huge dickhead. Yeah,
Packer.
That's his name.
David Costner. Yeah, he's in this. He's in this movie of the deleted scene, I think.
Yeah, So he plays like a crazy gun nut, like a surplus.
Yeah, of course he does.
Yeah, he plays like a surplus store owner.
He's a cheese fan.
And they have a scene where they buy like the walkie-talkies and shit that they used in the movie, because I guess that they thought that needed to be explained to how they got walkie-talkies.
Well, I was kind of confused whenever they got there. Like, where the fuck did you get this walkie-talkie?
I guess it did need to be in the movie. Director's cut.
It did, because he's over here like, he's climbing up a tree going, "Ooh, he falls off," and it's like...
He's like talking, and like all of a sudden you hear Kyle... Kyle, like, talking to him.
He's like, "I'm right here, buddy."
He's like, "What the fuck is he talking through?" And he pulls a walkie-talkie out of his pocket. It's like, okay, I guess he's carrying a walkie-talkie.
So, yeah, that explains how they get it. And then they sing one of the songs off the, movie album called "The Government Sucks," I think. But, yeah, that's that scene.
know, those are the two deleted scenes. There's some other stuff that was deleted too, but it's only like little asides and shit.
They cut it out because The Government Sucks is actually a trap song.
Yeah.
So
it didn't fit tonally.
Yeah, people at the time were like, what is this? It sounds awful, but the kids today would really vibe with it. You know,
hey,
what I mean?
I like trap. Shut up. Real quick, Cody.
And it mumble and Jack Black mumble raps in it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we talked.
Do you
about
like mumble rap?
The guy who.
Yeah.
Well, you know his name. I'll let Owen Google it.
Okay.
Andy, what's his name from the Conan O'Brien show?
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter. Owen, looked up Andy Richter real quick on Google.
All right. Andy.
You had to see a visual aid.
Visual aids.
And tell me this doesn't look like Kyle Gass with hair. Like, this dude looks just like Kyle Gass with hair.
Can't you see he's the man? Maybe I'm not spelling this right. Andy Griffith's show.
It's AndyRichter. Like Richter.
Richter. It's John Richter from the Andy Griffith Show. I fucking...
Type in Andy Conan.
Oh.
Like...
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, because he was like Conan O'Brien's sidekick.
Oh, yeah, he kind of does look like him. Like, in a weird way.
He looks like Kyle Gass with hair, dude. I swear to God. It's like, holy shit. I always got them confused. I'm like, wait, that guy's bald now?
It's crazy, too, because Tenacious D was on Conan a few times.
Really? I wonder if they're like, had an interaction. Like, hey, we looked at you.
Like, bro, you look just like him.
But we're both short. I love how like his Kyle Gass as a kid, he still had balls.
That poor. I feel bad for like the kid that got cast in that role. It was like, you know, like he got like, you know, that was a role that was like, he probably got made fun of for that or some shit. You know.
Oh fuck that! He was in a movie, dude.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but I don't know. I always just think about that. Like, you know, if I was in a movie, I want to be like the guy who.
You want to be the kid that got dressed up as the Grinch.
Yeah, that's right.
You're only 8 years old and you got a beard.
That part Cody like loves so much.
Put down the book and your foot. Oh, look at that hack job.
So stupid. I love
Did you say look at that hand job?
Hack job.
Because he tried to shave his face and he's got blood all over.
Oh, yeah.
He's covered with toilet paper.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we got to talk about the best part of that movie is when he's doing that. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. Yeah,
I'm an idiot. You're an idiot. Jim Carrey, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, our next movie is a Jim Carrey movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, baby. Oh, God.
It's coming, coming.
Man.
I should have worn a cap.
Yeah. Oh, just kidding.
Oh, not again.
That's what happens when he has that wet dream about the girl he's going to Aspen to meet.
Pretty, so shirt off, and it's a fucking truck lights.
Pretty woman.
It's like the truck, like, dun, dun. He's like, he just kind of gives it a look like, what the hell is going on here?
I don't think Owen's seen it, so.
God. Owen, you've never seen Dumb and Dumber, right?
No.
Oh my God, you're gonna love this movie. And we're gonna have a bit when we start out the next episode. We're gonna do he's gonna be the guy in the middle in the van, and we're gonna do the mock. Yeah. And he's gonna be like, guys, stop. Can we just play the radio? And that's when you pick up and do the whole part.
He goes, do you wanna hear the gayest sound in the world? And he goes, it's highbrow.
God, I can't wait. Yeah, it is highbrow. I cannot wait to do that movie. Like, no offense to this movie, but I know Dumb and Dumber like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Like, everything, like, quotes and shit. Like, I still use it with, like, lines. I'm like, suck me sideways. When he pulls up to the mansion and sees some people are like, what? I'm like, it's from Dumb and Dumber.
Because you also masturbated while he was having the dream about the woman.
I still do that thing when he's talking to the rich people. He goes, and then he goes, do you love me? And she says, no. That's a real nice ski mask. And he just slaps some dude and they all just start laughing. It's so fucking stupid. And I do that at work all the time. And Savannah just like, she just rolls her eyes. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing I do that makes her laugh. She either laughs because it's stupid or she wants to embarrass me some way. That's where we're at in this relationship. But anyway, so
until y'all are fucking.
Well, she also likes to embarrass me then. Like, hey, you can't keep it up, can you? It's like, yeah, I bet you can't. She starts hurling insults at me, thinking of turning me on. I'm like, no.
Slapping you in the face.
She's like, I'm like, talk dirty to me. He's like, all right, you piece of shit. You're going to clean the room after we get done with this. No, that's not what I wanted.
Stop.
Stop, I'm about to come. It's just like, yeah. I'm about to come. Yeah, you're going to swallow all this stuff out of me, aren't you? Like, no. Oh,
God. I'm about to come.
I keep trying to get her, like, I try to get her to call me daddy.
Oh, no.
Just in like, hey, come here, give daddy a kiss. And she goes, I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know who you're talking
She's
about.
She goes, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm like, give daddy a kiss. She goes, who's that?
Then she calls her bull.
She goes, like, my dad's not here.
Daddy's not here. I'm just with you.
Someone asked me at work the other day. Is like, does she call your name out during sex? Like, I don't know. I gotta gas the guy who's with her. I'm never home. I gotta ask the guy who's there with her. Oh God, oh. That's leaving me in. I gotta let her listen to this episode.
Oh God.
There's a video she showed me of these people like talking dirty. Goes, hey, I want you to talk to me all dirty. She's like, okay. It's like I brought a school. Like, act like you're a naughty little girl. She's like, okay, I brought a gun to school. He goes, I don't think you're getting this.
Guns. That's funny.
Oh, God.
Well, boys.
This movie, man. It was enjoyable to watch, but I wouldn't watch this movie again. And I'm not interested to see a Tenacious D album, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be mad. I mean, I like metal, but I think obviously they're making music they were fans of, which is like that 80s metal, which I wasn't a fan of. You know, I was born in the middle of the 80s. Late 80s. So, like, the metal I really got introduced to was later on, like, Metallica and shit. And I've never been into Black Sabbath or Dio or, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like,
I think they all
that's
suck.
That's just me.
Actually.
I guess I'm.
I think all those bands suck ass.
Now, I was just like, so, yeah, it's like, I think the music they put in this is good. Of all the musicals that we've watched, this is the most enjoyable music. But it's not saying a lot because I'm not a musical fan. Oh, actually, no. This is number two behind All Dogs Go to Heaven for me.
Oh, yeah.
You can't keep a good dog down. No, sir!
All Dogs
Go greatest show is still my favorite musical we've covered. But
well, Cody, you're also a Tennessee Titans.
This is the greatest show.
Cody has a look on his face where he looks like he's about to come. He's like, ooh.
Ladies and gents, this is a wonderful.
Every time I think, hold on, wait, let me ask you something. How old was Zendaya in that movie?
She was probably like in her early 20s, right?
Okay. Okay, good. I just think of her ass every time I think of
her. Hey, Owen, hold on, dude. Let's get this real quick before you say anything.
Okay. I got to cover my own ass here.
So The Greatest Showman came out in 2017. So, yeah, she would have been 20 or 21.
Oh, thank God.
Depending on when the movie was filmed, but yeah.
She got an ass that fills out every pair of jeans.
Tell my name, yeah, I just think of her ass anytime I think of that movie. So. And then I think, this is the greatest show. The greatest show.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you waited for.
I like how Hugh Jackman left the Wolverine role because eventually he didn't want to be typecasted in the role, and literally that's all anybody thinks about him. They don't think about his other movies. No. So yes,
Greatest Showman.
Huge ass, man.
That's you and those artsy fartsy douches that are over in the cafeteria talking about. I'm just kidding. Cody's like, look, I like movies, but I don't like douchebags when it comes to movies.
And that's why he's Wolverine again.
Yeah, it's gonna be funny how this plays out in Deadpool 3.
Yeah, I hear that there's supposed to be a bunch of different Wolverines in the movie.
Yeah, it's like a time
thing. There's like a multiverse aspect.
I think they're going to make fun of the multiverse.
Daniel Radcliffe is rumored to be one of them.
I don't think that's true, though.
I think it'd be awesome. I think you're a Harry Potter nerd. Well, no, I mean, if you look at Daniel Radcliffe, he's short. He's already got some, like, musculature to him. So if they wanted to, like, actually bring in, obviously, Hugh Jackman's him. This is probably going to be it for him, right?
Yeah.
So Daniel Radcliffe kind of fits, like, the look of Wolverine. He needs to bulk up just a little bit, but he fits that look. So, but I think the rumor is they're bringing him in as one of them because, like, that's been, like, one of, like, the fan rumors for a long time anyway.
Which would make sense.
It's sort of like how they filmed that Tom Cruise Iron Man scene for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but they didn't
They never added it in.
I wonder if it's a deleted thing they put in there.
I don't know. I have the Blu-ray, but I've never looked.
You know,
probably they have to pay him too much if they even included him on the Blu-ray. And then he'd want to rewrite the script.
Well, you know, people like the John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was...
That was like a fan thing, good. But they're probably... He's not going to be Mr. Fantastic for that.
Yeah, I think they've already said who's supposed to be Reed Richards. But
you know, it's one of those things, like, let me ask you guys this. Talking about, like, legacy characters, because, you know, he wanted to go out on a high note. Logan's probably one of the best comic book movies of all time.
Definitely.
Do you think, though, that movies now, especially with the crowd coming up, hold less weight than they did before? Like, it really doesn't matter what your last movie is. They're just going to pick out their favorite memory anyway. Because, like, you got people now arguing, like, you know, the Batman's better than the Dark Knight trilogy. It's like, look, these movies are 15 years apart.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I don't think this generation coming up is going to appreciate movies like the generations before us had. We're in a transition period at this point because people watch TikToks and shit.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think, obviously, the way that movies are consumed now are very different, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
10 out of 10 clips on YouTube.
I think a lot of it, too, is, like, for some reason, you saying that makes me think of this recent interview they did with, I guess they talked to Scorsese again about the fucking comic book movies. Like, why the fuck anyone cares what this 80-something-year-old man thinks? But we basically have gone through this since the 80s, right? In the 80s, it was over-the-top military action movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. And that's what sold, so that's what got made. A shit ton of that stuff got made, and it was all, like, samey bullshit eventually.
But, hey, it was the right move.
Now it's comic book movies. Now, I'm not saying there aren't good movies in that genre. I'm just saying that that's what a lot of movies were at the time, because that's what sold tickets. And now it's comic book movies. But now we're kind of also in a period where Barbie is the highest grossing Warner Brothers movie of all time.
Nice.
And it's already made like $1.43 billion.
What about Poop and Fartenheimer?
I think it. I don't know if
it made over $800 million. It's the highest grossing R rated film of all time. No, R rated biopic of all time.
R rated biopic, yeah. Because I think
why the fuck did those two movies like get so like? I swear to God, I think those two movies like had really good ass marketing, and I think a lot of the buzz on the social media was just the fucking marketing.
Well, it's because they came out on the same day, right? So like, they came out on the same day, so a lot of people were joking because it's like, oh, these are two movies come out on the same day, and they're like completely opposite style movies.
Yeah, Nolan wasn't happy about it either, competing with that movie.
It didn't really end up competing with it. It helped, if anything, it helped boost Oppenheimer. Because you know that, I mean, his biopics and shit don't make that much money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan's a great filmmaker, but they just don't. Like, no one was rushing to the theater to see fucking Dunkirk or whatever. You know, like,
yeah, but his other movies, like Interstellar, The Dark Knight, all those movies made over.
Well, The Dark Knight was like his highest grossing thing.
I think Interstellar got close to $1 billion also, if I'm not mistaken.
But Dark Knight crossed $1 billion.
And The Dark Knight Rises crossed $1 billion too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Oppenheimer, let me chop shit.
Open, beacon, black,
and let me check Oppenheimer. So Oppenheimer's, as of right now, Oppenheimer's made $928 million worldwide. So it's almost hit $1 billion, and that's a R-rated biopic. Barbie has made, $1.43 billion. So it's not that people aren't going to theater. I think that what we're experiencing now is another transitionary phase where it's people – so comic book movies have been dominant for the last decade or more. But there's so much of it now, and people are starting to get burned out on it. obviously people are really getting tired of Marvel style of movie, right? Like, it's just a lot of those movies are like the same-ish sort of thing over and over again. So now, finally, film is in this like period of like, let's figure out what the next like big thing is. And I mean, Barbie, I don't think there's gonna be anything this year that passes Barbie as far as box office.
Well, Barbie girl. Another thing you were talking about, the comic book movie stuff. Marvel expanded too much.
Yeah, I mean,
they wanted Star Wars, before a Star Wars movie's released, you get a tie-in novel that has the deleted scenes based off of the screenplay, a more complete version of the movie, if you will. That's how it was happening. Like, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 got books like that. That was your tie-in novels. And then you have the expanded universe, which wasn't required reading because it was kind of fantasy. It's all fantasy, but George never considered that shit canon like the fans did.
Yeah.
Marvel expanded this shit out after Endgame to making limited TV show runs.
Yeah, I mean,
on their own Disney Plus. Like, I mean, yeah, they're expanding out, but Marvel, it's too much.
Marvel, for everything they did to help establish comic book movies as this dominant force in the industry, they've cannibalized themselves. Because, yeah, you do have DC trying to compete against them, but DC's not putting out 4 movies a year and 2 or 3 limited series a year on top of it. They're getting out 2, maybe 3 movies a year. But literally, like, Marvel this year has got Guardians 3. It's got The Marvels. It had the Nick Fury series. Loki Season 2 is about to start. Echo, I think, is supposed to be coming out sometime by the end of the year. And there was some other Marvel movie. Oh, Ant-Man and Quantumania or whatever was earlier this year. So, like, I mean, there's already that, not counting the DC movies that have come out this year and are still coming out this year. You know, it's just too much and people are getting sick of it. But the plus side of that, like I said, is now the industry is, like, trying to find that thing that is going to, like, grab people again. And I don't think that it's so much people aren't going. I mean, yeah, there are less people going to the theaters, right? But I think people are just more selective about what they go to the theater to see, because someone made a good point. It may be Christopher Nolan that said this. People want to go and see an event. Like, they don't want something that's like, oh, I can just watch that at home and I'll be fine. They want something they can go to the theater and see and be like, I needed to go to the theater and see this. I've only been in the theater once this year. And for me and Stephanie, that's kind of nuts, because at least before the pandemic hit, we were going to the theater probably 8-9 times a year. And we've only gone to see Mario this year. Now, next weekend, we're talking about going to see a double feature to see The Nun 2 and the new Exorcist movie. I'm a believer. I could believe her if I try. And
hey,
but yeah, so I mean,
did you know he died, the lead singer of Smash Mouth?
Yeah,
rest in peace.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
Rest in peace.
Hey, now you're a rock star.
He got pissed.
I'm now dead.
There's a
there's a
live concert where like some festival where they're supposed to like throw bread on stage, like that's the theme of it, and people are like throwing bread on the stage. He's like, come up here and throw that bread again, motherfucker, and I'm gonna kick your ass. And it's all, he's like bitching at him, and it's all like the bass line of All Stars playing the entire time.
Hey, you're talking about All Star. At President Trump's inauguration, Trump's inauguration, they introduced the band as Three Doors Down. And all of a sudden you go, hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on. It's fucking, and Trump's singing along and shit. It's like, golly damn, it's fucking stupid.
He's probably got that stupid-ass Muppet face while he's dancing.
No, he was sitting down. He wasn't dancing. He was just singing and shit. But yeah, you know, it's hard things like, me and you talked about last year, it's like, man, we need to go see The Flash. Like, The Flash looked awesome. Even the trailer looked awesome. And then I lost the desire. I have no desire to go see a movie. And that's just me, because I mean, I'm like,
But you should see The Flash. It's on Max now, and The Flash is very good, especially for someone like you that really likes Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking great.
Okay, like, I'll have to check it out. I just, like, for me, I'm over here thinking, like, if a movie doesn't blow my socks away, I'm not going to see it. Well, the only two movies that I'm planning on seeing, they both come out next year, is Venom 3, because I'm supporting Venom.
Venom.
And Mortal Kombat 2, because I'm supporting Mortal Kombat.
Is that coming out next year, though?
Yes. So, Don't fart, Cody. Just don't do that.
The Conjuring 4 comes out next year, too.
Dude,
they're saying that the next Conjuring movie, I know we're like way off the deep end now with tangents, but
yeah.
we're drowning in a fucking 24 foot pool at this point.
I don't
the next Conjuring
we were talking about.
The next Conjuring movie is supposed to be the last mainline Conjuring. They're probably still going to make spinoffs and stuff, but that's going to be the last mainline Conjuring movie.
And did you see that the new Aquaman movies, like the guy Patrick Allen is the actor, I think?
Patrick
something?
I don't think it's Allen, but I know who you're talking about. The
main actor of...
He was in the first Aquaman, too.
Yeah, he was his half-brother.
Yeah.
I guess it's a buddy cop. They're teaming up in the Aquaman.
Yeah, I think it's probably because they rewrote the script, because it's probably supposed to be him and Amber Heard for a lot of the time.
Well, probably so. I'm just curious about that.
There were court documents that came out where Amber Heard was, like, had written letters to her psychologist or whatever, because she was complaining, because, like, Jason Momoa and James Wan both wanted her gone. They were like, you know, she's bringing too much negative attention to the set. We don't want her here. And she accused Jason Momoa of dressing up like Johnny Depp one day. It's like, what the fuck does that even mean? But anyway, the producer that, what's his name? Zafarian or whatever the fuck his name is. He was like, no, we're going to keep Amber, you know, like, we're going to fire Johnny off of an allegation, but once proof comes out that Amber was a piece of shit in that relationship, we're not going to do anything.
Do you know what happened with the end result? Her and Johnny ended up spitting in their hands and shaking hands. No money was exchanged. They called it even in a truce. After everything said and done, Johnny didn't get any money out of her. I don't think he wanted money out
and
that's of her.
And the thing is, too, like, Johnny Depp still never got asked back to be...
Well, didn't that franchise die anyway?
Yeah, I mean, the third movie, like, was a disappointment in the box office, so they're like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. But, huh, I wonder why. Maybe because everyone wanted to see fucking Johnny Depp as Grindelwald and not fucking have a third actor come in and play this goddamn role. Like, I love Mads Mikkelsen, but, like, you've already established that Grindelwald disguises himself in the first film, and at the end...
He's Jude Law, isn't he?
Yeah, Jude Law is, like, his, like, disguise, right? Because Grindelwald is, like, obviously he's a wanted man, so he's, like, pretending to be someone else, and then who works within like the authoritative group of the wizarding world in America, and then at the end they reveal him as being who he truly is, and it's Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp plays Grindelwald in the sequel, but then all that shit, Amber Heard being like, oh, he abused me, and like, obviously that's not true. We know that now from the court documents. I don't give a fuck what all these Amber Heard crazy nut jobs on Twitter say.
She stepped on a bee.
And then there, but
okay,
Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is like, well, fuck Johnny Depp, we're getting him out of here, and we're going to put Mads Mikkelsen in this role and not explain a single fucking bit why he looks completely different now and has a completely different accent.
Well, they killed off the franchise. So, you know. Did those movies ever explore Dumbledore being gay?
Yeah, they did in the third one. There's a sex scene.
Is it for real?
No. His teenage relationship is with Grindelwald because they knew each other when they were younger, and they kind of explore that, and the whole idea of them being like, they have like this unbreakable vow or whatever that they can't harm each other. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the movie is like how they're going to like get rid of this vow, so that Dumbledore, it's very much understood that Dumbledore is likely the only one that can actually defeat Grindelwald. Mm-hmm. And they were obviously planning another movie because the final confrontation doesn't actually happen in that film, but. Like I said, it was disappointing. It was a disappointment in the box office when Warner Brothers shut down any sequel talks. And now they're just
talking... Grindelwald in any of the Harry Potter movies, he died in the fourth book of
it. He shows up briefly in the Half-Blood Prince. He's in a prison cell. And Voldemort shows up because he's looking for the Elder Wand, which is like the most powerful wand in history. Mm-hmm. And it was actually created by Death. And Grindelwald was the last one to have had it, or at least that anyone knew that had it. And so he goes to the prison cell to talk to Grindelwald, and he said, no, the one that you fear most or whatever is the one that has it, which is Dumbledore. Because the way to earn the wand, I know this is all nerdy shit, but the way to win the wand to actually have it operate properly for you is to defeat the person who has it in a duel, which Dumbledore did by defeating Grindelwald.
Anybody so, didn't kill him because he loved
yeah, and then Vol- I love you. And then Voldemort goes to Dumbledore's grave and steals the wand. Maybe it's the Deathly Hallows that he goes to Grindelwald because Dumbledore dies at the end of Half-Blood Prince.
So is it when his character revealed in that movie? I'm just curious as a nerd. Is it? I'm a nerd, but I don't have any interest in Harry Potter. I'm interested.
It's not a big like pop moment. Like if you read the books, you know who it is.
Yeah.
And because they go into more detail in the book about like, oh, this is who this is. Dumbledore and Grindelwald knew each other when they were younger. Blah blah blah. And but in the movie, it's just kind of like, you know, basically just a barely touched moment. On. Yeah. Now Warner Brothers is like rebooting the entire franchise. They're doing a series on Max.
For Harry Potter?
Yeah, they're going to do 7 seasons, so each season's going to cover each book. Yeah. So,
I wonder if that's going to be successful. No. They're like, let me ask you something, because what's your face? Because they talked about it, the woman who made those books. Well, she made
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, whatever. J.K. 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 wrote in the script, because they were going to have a speech from Dumbledore talking about a past girlfriend. It's like, Dumbledore's gay. So, going back and rereading the books... you have multiple times, I'm assuming.
It's implied that he's gay in the book, but it's not really like heavily hinted. It's just like, it's kind of like touched on that he has like this like emotional connection with Grindelwald, but it's not really like explicitly said. It wasn't until after the last book was even published that she came out in like an interview or something.
Said
like,
he was gay.
He's gay.
Oh, gotcha. And people are like, what? Because there was obviously another line where he goes, a woman, what's that?
Yeah, and there's also, there's also, like, some weird shit, too, where she's, like, someone asked her, which is just so stupid, but someone asked her, like, were there toilets in Hogwarts when it was originally built? Because it was supposedly built, like hundreds of years ago or whatever.
And people always shit, though.
And she's like, no, they just use their wand to, like, vanish their waste away. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense, because... toilets actually existed in fucking castles in like the 12th century and shit. Like basically it was just like a stone toilet or whatever that you use the bathroom in. There's like this like hole on the side of the castle or whatever that kind of like a chute that it like ran down. But yeah, it's just like dumb shit. But anyway, let's get back to what we're doing, because we've like gone way off the fucking deep
end. Well, we padded this podcast now. We're gonna be like, this movie features a little Tenacious D, the rest variety. It's a buffet episode.
I feel bad. I kind of feel bad, Owen, because I feel like we kind of hijacked this from you.
Nah, I don't care.
Owen's like, you know what, guys, I don't need to be on the show anymore. Fuck y'all. Okay? Well, it's really like the plot's kind of straightforward, though. It's like this made up plot, because I was like, is this Jack Black's backstory when they were singing at the beginning? And I go, wait, no, he was born and raised in California. He wasn't raised.
Yeah, he was born like in L.A.
And he was raised Jewish, so he wasn't even raised in a Christian background. I'm like, oh, okay, all this shit's just, it's funny. Like I say, it's an entertaining story. I imagine if I liked drugs or like drinking and watched this movie, I would enjoy it a lot more. But that's just not what I'm into, period. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, I thought, like I said, it wasn't a complete drag to watch like some of the movies we watched, like Greatest Showman. trying to think of all the fucking movies we did, like Kung Pao. That one, even though it was stupid funny, it took me a while to get through that fucking movie. I had to pause and like, fuck, this thing's stupid.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Freddy got things.
I don't know. That one right there, I really enjoyed. Like, when I got that second half of the movie, I fucking loved it. But yeah, like I said, it wasn't a drag. I just never would watch this movie again. But if you like heavy metal and you like a lot of the older metal, I think you would appreciate it, especially if you like Tenacious D. I think you'd really like this movie. And I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it, like Owen was saying, this movie is like, what is that thing called? Like, it feels indie as fuck when it's written out. Like, this is like a first time writer writing out a movie. But it still looked good for being goofy as it is. Mm-hmm. And the movie, like the music fit the music perfectly. Like, they filmed this movie and they were writing songs for each scene. It was perfect. Like, like the most literal sense of the movie is what these songs were. There was no deep meaning. This wasn't like you're listening to Tool or Perfect Circle and it's like, what does he mean by that? And the song was like, no, it's like, I'm trying to break in the building. I see a camera. I get back on the wall. And
that's what I meant earlier, because it's very much like, it's very much like a rock musical, because that's kind of how musicals are, right? Like, a lot of times in musicals, the songs are like, just kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Written for the scene.
It's right. Like, the word starts with like, it's like an EX word.
SX.
explains.
Like, it's basically just not explained. It's there example. To like it's there to like basically provide a lot of like in depth detail as to what's happening in the moment.
Yeah, and I think they do a great job.
Exposition,
like
exposition. Yes, thank yes. you.
And the thing is, I don't. This movie walks a fine line. Like, did they write the scene and then record the song, or was this a song they recorded and wrote the scene around the song? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that it is entirely possible that they wrote the songs first.
Yeah, I think so, and they wrote the movie to fit the songs, which, you know, bravo on them. That actually is fucking pretty hilarious. But you could, but it's also, Owen, do you see that, though? It's like a fine line between, like, did they write the songs for the movie, or did they write the movie for the songs?
Yeah, like,
like, there's some scenes where you can see it goes either way.
Yeah, totally. There's some... Like, even when I was talking about that deleted scene where they sing in that surplus store, like, you can tell that that's just, like, they're like, oh, we have this song on the album. We need to make a scene where, you know, it would make sense yeah. for us to sing this song.
Well, it's like, you know, the Sasquatch song. Like, that song, like, it feels like that was a song, and they wrote the scene for the song.
But they, you know, but also it's though, funny.
Like him breaking into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, felt like that was a scene, and they wrote the song for that scene.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's funny though, the Bigfoot song. They did a very good job of like giving a reason why he would even stop to eat the mushrooms. Because remember, at the diner,
he didn't get anything because they had no money anyway.
Well, he tells Kyle, he's like, man, I don't eat before a mission. I gotta stay focused.
Slows you down.
It slows you down, and then like. And then whenever he's eating the mushrooms, he's like, oh, man, I'm glad I found these mushrooms because I was hungry.
He's just dripping. And, like, his hands make, when he's looking, it's like a lightsaber motion. Like I said, there's some good parts in it, but, like, the thing I appreciate the most is, like I said, that balance between is the song written and then the scene's written, or is the scene's written and then the song is written for the scene. Like, there's quite a few times that you say it goes either way. And I find that pretty incredible. Or somebody who has no musical talent, so I have all the respect for these guys. I just would not watch this movie again, but I do recommend it for at least a one watch for people, because I think it's not a waste of time. And there was some parts I laughed out loud, like when he ripped off Kyle's wig, Ball and it was like ah, he looked down at his hands like ah. I mean, I busted out laughing at that. And so anyway, that's my thing. Like I recommend it for at least a one watch to see if you like it. And a lot of people probably would like it.
Yeah, I recommend it as well. I enjoyed it. Like I said, there were a couple of moments that kind of dragged, but they didn't last too long. The music, I really enjoyed the music. I'm not really a fan of like that old 80s metal either.
It's more like classic metal, like kind of 70s.
Yeah,
like 70s.
Yeah, because that style of metal I'm not really a fan of, but it's like sort of like Owen was saying earlier, the way Jack Black delivers a lot of it makes it enjoyable to listen to, and also like it just does so much to help carry this movie.
And the lip syncing at the beginning of this movie with the kid doing the whole Jack Black mm-hmm. thing was completely on point.
Yeah.
Not at one point did it look like, okay, that looked like that was off. It looked like the kid was, it was perfect. Obviously you could tell it's a track playing over
yeah.
it, but he nailed it perfect, like a music video.
Yeah.
He said, so, but Owen, he you recommend can this movie, sir? Suck a cock. Yeah. I do. I think, yeah, even if you don't really necessarily enjoy kind of the style of rock that they're kind of going for, I think it's just, it's dumb enough, you know, it's just dumb fun pretty much with it. It's like when I pull out my guitar and I make something fucking stupid, it can be pretty fun, so.
No, what's funny is you and Cody, if we did a skit, you and Cody could make up a song like on the fly and make a skit about it.
What was that?
But no, like you and Owen have that ability to like string together music. Just in general, like Owen obviously is more musically gifted, where you're probably more vocally gifted, but you're both on like a level I could never attain. But you guys could put shit together and just make up lyrics and be like Kyle. You're the Kyle Glass, and he's no, you're the Jack Black, he's the Kyle Glass, and I'm that guy going, you guys are awesome, man. The lead, that's me on this podcast. But literally, this is something that it could be done if we put our mind to it. Because Owen, I mean, if anybody has ever listened, if we're not using, like, music we should be paying for, but we're not, as an intro, the intro is Owen's music. He put that shit together and he came up with the lyrics. So,
y'all,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I also do bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, sorry for hijacking your episode.
I also do bar mitzvahs and weddings.
There's just that one song on repeat.
Hey, come listen to our podcast, yeah.
It's just sorry for hijacking your episode, Ellen.
No, it's fine. Like, I had more fun talking about other shit anyway, because I thought we could talk about, I don't know, like I said, when I was in the middle of watching it, I realized that it's kind of a shorter movie, and there's not really, it's pretty straight cut, and there's not like a whole lot of like stuff you can really debate about this movie. It's just like a dumb stoner movie. It's like trying to debate Grandma's Boy or do like something comprehensive about that. You know, like what the fuck do you got to say about Grandma's Boy or Tenacious D other than like, hey, it's funny.
And I guess we'll go ahead and announce our next few movies. Cody, sir, your next movie will be yours. The next movie will be yours, I should say.
Yes, it'll be Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, God, I can't wait for this, man. It, like, there's a few movies that you guys select that I'm, like, 100% on point. Like, I'm in sync and I know everything about this movie. This is it. This is, like, the movie you could pick that I know everything about and I love. Because I hated The Mask, and I still hate The Mask.
Man, I love The Mask.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, Cody. Shut up. And I hate like but I love Dumb and Dumber, and then my movie after that will be the third Mortal Kombat Legends movie, Snowblind, and then eventually, since we're running out of Mortal Kombat movies for me to try, I guess we'll do Annihilation. But eventually, I'm going to like get us into just start watching all the Friday the 13th movies so I can review those. I want to do those
except for the first one.
Yeah. No, we're going to do it again. A retrospective.
It's going to be a bonus pre-episode. Yeah, I already done a review.
We won't be watching the movie. We'll just go back and listen to the episode and redo it. Dude,
we're going to critique our episode on the movie.
If you go back and listen to like some of those early, like the early episodes, we were all using like crappier mics, and you can really tell the difference.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you very much, Tonar.
Toner, you give me a boner. It's like I had blue chew.
Cody sends me a text today because I was coming over to his house to record. He goes, Stephanie left for camping earlier today. I'll bring the blue chew.
Chew it and do it.
We used to have to do this thing where
what can blue do for you?
Yeah. Me and Cody, when we'd come over, and this is when we both had poor jobs. Now Cody has a rich job and I have a poor job. We had to wait for Stephanie to leave so I could come over and hang out with him, but we'd go to Cracker Barrel, so Stephanie didn't know. She's like, he doesn't need to be eating out all the time. And Cody's not, like, fat at all. He's got a metabolism like a fucking horse. So we're like, let's go to Cracker Barrel. So we'd sneak up there and come back, and she'd come back. What you guys been doing? Nothing. We've done ate out twice that day. And she goes, Cody, we're going to have some here at the house. He goes, okay.
ate out twice that day. I'm going to eat out later that night.
He's talking about me, not Steph.
Yeah. You got that ass. What? Look.
Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Let's wrap this shit up.
And wipe that shit off your mouth, Cody. You've been eating ass.
Get out the fucking Dr. Squatch.
Owen, close out the episode, sir.
Well, everybody, that was another fantastic episode of Moscopy Podcast. In this episode, we discussed Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, and some other associated things.
I like how he had to remind people what the fucking movie was that we were that we like, just in case you forgot, it was one movie. Then all shit hit the fan.
In case you forgot, but be sure to join us next time where we will be discussing Dumb and Dumber. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and all that shit, and send us lots of money. And as always, practice your
finish him
and practice your cock push-ups.
Oh God!
Oh gosh!
Bye.
Bye.